You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today, plausibly live, it's the ZABEcast.
No. We'll do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Today's guest, sports radio lifer and D.C. Jewish Sports Hall of Famer, Andy Polin.
Uh-huh.
See?
And now, let's get to yakking.
Here we go!
It is the Monday mop-up, the hardest day of the week for us to triage all of the good stories, Easter eggs, sound bites, everything else that just buries us in a typical football weekend, college and pro. And Andy, we are fresh off the Kansas City Chiefs falling to 0-2 in a hard-fought game that could have gone either way against the Eagles. But it didn't, because Taylor Swift's fiance dropped a touchdown pass. Wah, wah.
Yeah, that was bizarre. I'm doing good. Yeah, I saw that, and it was, you know, you always say, oh, that's a pass that Travis Kelce
gotta make
always
it.
Catches. Yeah,
but you got to make that catch is what they say. If he was a first-year player, you'd say he's got to make that catch.
Yeah, and it bounced. It just had a bizarre bounce, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the funniest thing. People always say that so-and-so has got to make that catch.
Yeah.
And my answer is, but it's sports. Sometimes the ball goes where it wants to go. Great players fuck up. It's why we love sports. 'Tis unpredictable. This is not a video game where it's programmed in that if Travis Kelce's wide open on a 7-yard dig and you put the ball on him that it's going to stick. Who knows what's going to happen? And it bounced into the hands of an Eagles defender who damn near ran it all the way back.
Yeah, and how about the tackle that ran him down?
Oh,
I'd love to see fat guys run like that.
Exactly. But as I warned on Friday, I said the league's grubby fingers, the Shield's fingers would be on the scale of this pound of gabagool to help the Chiefs in any way possible. Two huge calls. One was replay clearly showed that Hurts was in on the first tush push, but it was third down, so they just knocked it in on fourth down. And then there was a don't touch Patrick Mahomes, Princess Patrick, a roughing call that you're like, what? That's a roughing penalty?
Well, and Tom Brady, let me say this about Tom Brady. He's much better this year than he was last year.
You think so after 2 weeks?
Yes, because I watched him the week before in the Giants' Commanders opener, and I thought he was improved. And as he pointed out, you know, Mahomes knows how to turn his head. He knows where the referee is,
right,
and he's going to get that call. And I would say this, too, and he pointed this out well. I think most of the time they do the tush push, they're their illegal procedure. They're moving ahead on almost everyone. They don't catch it. Never.
Absolutely. And the flip side of the coin, so I can piss off both Chiefs fans and Eagles fans in the first 5 minutes of today's podcast, the play is such an unofficiatable joke at this point. And I clipped just the 5 seconds and I scrubbed it back and forth of the blatant false start that was visible in real time. Those of us watching at home said, false start, no flags on the tush push at the goal line. And why Andy, 9 teams other than the Eagles said, yeah, nah, let's not ban it, is beyond my understanding. They're morons.
And they maybe they'll Jason Kelce to lobby for it, keep it, and he doesn't even play anymore.
Lobby schmobby. 9 other teams that would stand to benefit said, nah, taking it away would be mean or some reason. Like, no. Maybe they'll come back next year and say, okay, now it's gone. Because I think that the center for the Eagles is lining up with the ball over his nipples, which is also illegal. There's false starts all over the place. It's hard to see where the ball is and where momentum stops. It's impossible to see if a knee or a shin or an elbow is down, right? So it's just, and it doesn't look like a football play. It's rugby.
Well, that's the main point.
Rugby.
It's not football. And, you know, I grew up understanding that you can't aid the runner.
Right.
And that was a rule until they said, yeah, it's too hard to tell, so we're just going to do away with that.
Right.
Well, it's not that hard to tell. And now you have replay and 12 cameras, including overheads. Get it out of the game. Yeah. I'd like to see it go.
So normally 0-2 is not quite a death sentence for making the playoffs, but it ain't good. I think the number trends towards historically 70%. 70% of teams that start 0-2 don't make the playoffs. Now, needs to be noted that a number of bad teams that we knew were going to be bad start 0-2 because they are bad. So it's not really an indicator. It's sort of a trailing statistic or trailing indicator. But are the Chiefs at 0-2 cooked, do you think?
No. Okay. No. And also, it's what, only last 4 years we've had 17 games. So
okay, we've had longer seasons and more playoffs. Another wild card team was added. So there you go. I can look at the Chiefs' schedule. I believe they play all professional teams, Andy. So no, there's no college teams in here. No FCS schools.
Right.
There's no barn burner teams they're playing. No exhibitions. All pro teams with pro opponents.
Yep. Every holiday, too. Count them in for all that. Every primetime opportunity, they're there.
What is the dance partner for the AFC West? Is it the AFC North? No, it's not. So here's one of their strength of schedule games. Baltimore. Woof. That hurts. Their NFC dance partner division appears to be, just taking a quick glance at this, the NFC East. Is that possible? I don't see they play Dallas, but they play the Lions. Woof, that's hard. They play at Buffalo. That's hard. Oh, they do play Dallas. Okay, so yeah, the NFC East is their dance partner, and they catch hard opponents as strength of schedule. Detroit at home, Baltimore at home, Buffalo on the road, and then their usual slate of, well, these are other pro teams that are going to be hard. I don't know. It could be the year they finally miss the playoffs.
It could, but, you know, I remember Dallas at 0-2 winning the Super Bowl, so it happens.
Yeah, getting Rashee Rice back will help. They've got a very motley crew of wide receivers who are very inconsistent right now. And Mahomes at times seems more wild than ever. Missed a guy wide open in this game late in the fourth.
Saw it.
Yep. So, yeah, we shall see. Now, a number of other teams are definitely 0-tombstone. As somebody said on Twitter, that's a great term. I'm going to steal that one, Andy.
That is a good one.
Oh, and tombstone, meaning you are pretty much dead. Do you want to go over which teams are oh and tombstone at this point?
Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, let's just pop on some of these games. The game of the day was the Cowboys and Giants that went back and forth, thriller down in Big D with Russell Wilson throwing his trademarked rainbow bombs to a hapless Cowboys secondary that I guess just forgot how to cover, but the ultimate weapon, Brandon Aubrey, with a 64-yarder to tie, and then a much shorter one to win. The 64-yarder would have gone in from 70.
Yep.
The guy is a joke.
He is. And not only that, the story is incredible. He was a college soccer player, took a job in the real world. His wife is watching the Red Zone channel and goes, yeah, I think you can do this. Now he may be the greatest, at least long-distance kicker of all time. It's incredible.
I mean, he's really tall. I think he's like 6'3". He's got a completely blank expression. If you think he's scared, he don't show it. Probably a standing beats per minute on his pulse of 39 and just murders the ball. I mean, hits piss missiles where they played for a 64-yarder as the game-tying field goal. Like, no, this is good. I mean, this league used to be staffed at place kicker by a bunch of 5'9 Zendejas types with thin mustaches who would have to go, ooh, just to get it like 56 yards. You and I remember the Redskins when they had a place kicker whose range was 49. Known range of 49. There was a 52-yarder to win the game, and who sent him out there to go kick it?
I don't know if it was 52. I think it was 49.
I thought it was a yard or two longer than his known distance, range. It was Eddie Murray, and it was Norv, right?
It was Eddie Murray, and then the holder, who was also the punter, I think it was Barnhart, Tony Barnhart, came over to the sidelines and said, Norv, he can't kick it that far. He said, kick it anyway.
I think they called a timeout. This was 99, Andy? 2000, maybe?
This was 2000. Okay. And they were 9-6 at that point.
Right.
And Snyder ordered that they start. Snyder wanted to start Jeff George. He started Brad Johnson.
Right.
Finally went to Jeff George. And they just couldn't get that last field goal, which I guess would have won the game 10-9.
Yeah, right? But I believe that they called timeout because the snapper was like, he can't make this. The holder.
Right.
The holder's like, he can't make this. And Norv being Norv was like, give it a try. You know, might be able to make it. Timeout, talk about it, send him back out there. And of course, he was short from 50 yards. And he's not the only one. Elliott for the Eagles whomped a couple in this game this afternoon. There are kickers. Like, there's several kickers in the league. Boswell is another one, a guy who Tomlin called a, quote, serial killer, that can hit from 60 without flinching. Then there's a number of guys who you wouldn't trust to make a 35-yarder, for $5.
Right. And you know what? You come off watching college football on Saturday, and there's like a bunch of guys choking from 30 yards, you know? So these guys who make it to the pros, they're the best of the best because college isn't producing that many of them, right?
Right. Yeah. And then you had the Lions returning to form 1 week after a beat reporter said, why don't you just use the old offense, even though I know the coach is gone and he's now on the other sideline. And, you know, Campbell's like, what are you talking about exactly? A 50-burger on the Bears who fall to 0-2. To say that there is absolute despondence in Chicago, Andy, with Bear fans is a supreme understatement. Can you imagine what it would be like rooting for this team?
Oh, I know. I have a cousin who's a 40-year season ticket holder. I know all about it. Yes, absolutely. And what's gone on now is the feeling is this guy Johnson is one of those guys who just happens like a Spagnuolo type, great coordinator, just not head coach material. I know it's only two games, but that's the buzz coming out of Chicago.
Ben Johnson may not be all they had hoped he would be, but Caleb Williams is another huge issue because he's clearly not generational, something that Merrill Reese warned people about on Radio Row at the Super Bowl, and there was like this weird pushback, like, how dare you say that?
Well, they not only didn't look at other quarterbacks, they didn't consider any. They didn't bring anybody else
in. No. Didn't even kick the tires on a guy like Jaden Daniels.
Right. And I look at some of the other analysts who said, I saw what I saw with Jaden Daniels, and I would at least consider him. But no, the Bear, no, we don't want to upset Caleb. We're going to take him.
So here was Barstool Eddie in Chicago, Chicago native, pretty much summing up life right now as a Bear fan.
All right, Bears post game from the boiler room.
Bears.
7 minutes left.
The Bears, Andy.
So who gives a f-? I had just like the darkest reality like 20 minutes ago that I don't, who knows how many falls we got left on this earth. And to be stripped of another football season 2 weeks in is just so brutal. It's so brutal, especially like you look at it like around. It's 81 degrees in Chicago today. People could have been having a nice day, but this is what the whole city did, is watch this pathetic excuse for a game. I left Vegas at 3 a.m. I had 45 minutes of sleep yesterday just because I wanted to be in Chicago for week two of the Bears game. And I don't know why we do it anymore. I mean, I don't know. I know why we do it, because we care and we're going to love this team. But, I mean, at some point, like, the decision makers, like, extending Ryan Poles for no f-ing reason 2 months ago. I just, like, this team just don't love us back. And it f-ing hurts and it sucks. And it's unfathomable to put on the clown makeup again and do it 50 more weeks. It just truly is. So I got nothing. I sound like a broken record, and I don't want to do that, but it just f-ing sucks, man. It just f-ing sucks.
I can't put on the clown makeup for another 15 weeks. I don't know how many more falls I'll have on this earth, but there is such hopelessness about it.
Not only that, if they've whiffed on another quarterback, I mean, the last Hall of Fame quarterback, I think, is Sid Luckman.
Oh, it's really bad. And the Ryan Poles draft record is abysmal. And they just extended him for two more years. He is 3-17 as the GM in Chicago. And here's what he said. You're not going to be able to hear this, I don't think, Andy. But this was him talking about, we're going to take the North and never give it back.
What's my philosophy?
All right, you can't hear that, but he said basically we're going to take the North, never give it back. That was in 2022. The Bears are now 3-17 in the NFC North since then, and none of his draft picks, like top 10 pick tight end, no catches today. Second round wide receiver, no catches. Second round pick, left tackle, healthy scratch. Second round pick, D tackle, healthy scratch. It's amazing.
Bad. It's bad. Yeah, it's nice to see that from my vantage point, I must say.
All right.
Because I remember those days here.
All right, we need to, you and I, recon on the Packer-Commander game from Thursday night.
Okay.
First and foremost, you people that got so mad at me on Twitter when I said at 7-0, quote, it's adorable thinking the Commanders have a chance to win this game, y'all got to lighten up. The shit you were saying to me on Twitter, either you were drinking or you take sports way too fucking seriously. Guys were calling me turncoat. One guy said, a turncoat is the worst kind of fan. I don't care if he works in another market now. It's inexcusable. Other people saying even worse. Of course, I just blocked them all because I said, well, if you're so hurt by my comments, you're not going to be able to handle what I'm going to say in the future. So I'm going to dismiss you from following me. Goodbye. You're blocked. But the Commanders ran into a defense that's going to end the year 1-1 on defense. Period.
They are.
End of story. They're a nasty unit, Andy.
Well, here's the thing. They were really good, and they just added the most dominant defensive player in the league. If you look at the stats from that game, you'll see half a sack and three quarterback pressures from Micah Parsons. That does not tell the story.
Not even
one
close.
Bit. If right. You watch that game, he's a factor on every play. And late in the game, when there's still a smidgen of hope left for the Commanders, Laramie Tunsil, who makes a fortune, a Pro Bowl tackle, lines up and he sees, oh my God, there's number one in front of me. And he makes a false start. I mean, I saw Lawrence Taylor in his prime. Lawrence Taylor was awesome. But this Micah Parsons is faster than he was. And
stronger.
And I mean, the Giants had a great defense anyway. But yes, he is a more dominant player. And that's hard to say because I saw LT dominate a game with a dislocated shoulder. But, I mean, it is just awesome to see how good he is. Yes, yeah,
Micah,
that is a great defense.
Micah on the Cowboys, a pretty middling to bad defense at this point, yeah. Now that some guys have retired or left, he is still awesome. But Micah Parsons on a young, hungry defense that has other guys who are coming into their prime, like Rashawn Gary, like Edgerrin Cooper, who's going to be a star in this league if he isn't already, and with depth. And I mean, that's like Micah Parsons is like that catalyzing agent in a chemical mix that was close with the Packers last year. It was close, but it wasn't quite right. This thing has made the whole mixture fizz and pop and explode because he is that good. I mean,
no question.
I look at his arms and the way they hang off of his shoulder. They're like giant, you know, aircraft missiles for arms. And he's got moves. He did like this Euro step on one of your tackles where he went juke left, juke right, and that's then he was rookie. By the guy in 2 seconds.
Conley, he's a rookie.
So, and you guys took a lot of injuries, which is tough. Yeah. Guy tore his hamstring off the bone. Your tight end got hurt. Poor Austin Eckler's career is probably over at 31 years old. Apparently 73% of running backs who tear their Achilles never play again in the NFL.
Well, he's older anyway, so they moved on. So,
okay, so here's what I want to get at. What's the vibe amongst the fan base? What's the vibe in town? Because talking to CJ, Chris Johnson, the producer of the Commanders Radio Network, we played golf at Erin Hills on Friday. It was a lovely time. Thank you, Jim Lombardo, for setting that up. CJ loved the place, as I knew he would. He said, there's a lot of fans that are very demoralized. And I go, why? You played a better team at their place who's got a defense now that they've added a great generational player that was on again last night. Why be demoralized?
I'll tell you why. That was the first game that I saw, and that was including the playoffs. What do you have, 3 playoff games? So that's right. 20. That was the 21st game that Jaden Daniels played. It's the first time I can remember him looking kind of,
He stunk.
And it wasn't that he was bad. He was just...
Well, he couldn't do anything.
And now we've got Grant Paulson reporting they had an MRI on Jaden Daniels' knee.
Now, good.
And the fact that there's nothing out pushback on that is a little scary.
Well, apparently, I think I saw today there's going to be a press conference tomorrow.
That's a regularly scheduled deal anyway. That's at 3:30 in the afternoon. They do that every Monday anyway. But I don't know. And the way this group is even more evasive on injuries than the Ron Rivera group.
Okay.
Like, they say nothing about him.
All right, so. If I may, my feeling is that amongst Commander fans, there's a bit of a struggle right now with what is called imposter syndrome. Ever heard of it?
Yes, but I'm not sure I'm going to go along with it, but go ahead.
Okay, so last year, the team has an incredible season with 5 thrilling comebacks in the final minute of games. Am I getting that number right? They had 5 wins
in the
final minute. And they go to the NFC Championship game, where they really weren't much of a factor when it was all said and done. Is that fair as well?
Well, they had a lot of turnovers. Yeah, the Eagles were a better team. No question.
The game was never really that much in doubt beyond the first quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in other words, you're kind of figuring, you're grasping as a fan or a fan base with what are we and what should we expect, because all of this came too soon. And so when you're struggling with this shadow of imposter syndrome, are we any good? Should we be here? I love these guys. They've made these improvements in category A, B, and C in the offseason. I've signed off on it. Yay, Adam Peters. And then you get it shoved on you like the Packers did. It shakes you. And it's embarrassing. But it shouldn't be, is my point.
No, look, the main thing is they have a quarterback. We know that.
I like the quarterback a lot.
And if you have that, to me, that's like 75%.
Sure.
The rest, if you don't screw it up with bad draft picks, which it looks like Adam Peters has not, he reached Marshawn Lattimore can't play. He's done. That was a mistake. But, you know, I mean, the other free agents that he's gotten have done well. And they're a team that they may be like a 9-win team this year. They may be an 8-win team. But they're moving in the right direction for the first time since, you know, before Dan Snyder got there.
Right. Okay. So it'll be interesting to see what the rest of the season brings. But I would just say to Commander fans, and don't get mad at me for saying this, you are not going to win on Thursday night. Not the way the Packers defense is currently playing. Not at their current health level. It was never going to happen. They were all over everything Kingsbury tried to do, wanted to do, all the quick game stuff, all the lateral stuff, too fast, too tough. It just is what it is. Look at the way they shut down the Lions in week one, and the Lions scored 52 this week.
Right. No, the Philadelphia Packer game, what week is that? Like week 10 or something?
Week 10.
Week 10. That's going to be epic.
Yes, it is. And I've already said Packers going to be 8-0 going into that. And I've drawn criticism from my co-host saying, you can't say that. And I go, look at the teams they're playing. They're way better than all of them. And one of the teams, one of the tougher games, supposedly on paper, was the Bengals. And they just lost Joe Burrow for at least several weeks with a big toe sprain. Very tough injury, big toe sprains. The Sergeant Hulk of toe, as you know, Andy, is the most important toe in the body athletically.
Jack Lambert, the toughest guy ever to play for the Steelers, had his career ended by turf toe.
Right.
So remember that.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that's going to be a hell of a game. And we'll see if the Eagles are also undefeated by the time that comes around. But yeah.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.
All right, yeah. Can we switch to college for a second? Because there's two stories here I want to get to. The first is one of the all-time drop-the-bag bad decisions of the NIL portal era. Quarterback Nico Iamaliva double-crossed Tennessee at the last minute in the spring, reneging on a deal to play for the Volunteers for X thousand or maybe $1 million, whatever the price was to play there. He's like, no, I've got a better deal at UCLA. The rump dog of what used to be the Pac-12 conference, now part of the Big Ten. They have no stadium close to campus. They have no fan base whatsoever. They haven't been good since Troy Aikman was there. They had a coach until yesterday, Deshaun Foster, former running back for the Carolina Panthers, who is in way over his head. And they still owe $10 million to Cal, their in-state brother, as sort of a alimony for busting up the conference, for leaving the conference, for leaving Cal high and dry. Cal had to go run to the ACC, right? Okay, yep. So they've got all that going against them, and Nico Iamaliva loses on Friday night to New Mexico before about 10,000 apathetic fans at the Rose Bowl.
At the Rose Bowl. Let's emphasize that. You know, the Rose Bowl seats 100,000 people.
Oh, nobody showed up for this game. He sucked. They lost. Yeah, great. You're making more money. He could have been the guest on the set on game day on ESPN for the epic Tennessee-Georgia game, which poor Tennessee lost three different ways down the stretch, including with a missed kick in overtime, that had, or not in overtime, but a missed kick in regulation that had no chance of going in.
Yeah, well, the poor kid, they're saying on the sideline, he's taking deep breaths. Where have you ever heard that with a kicker before?
And is that a good thing?
Before, another thing was they were going to try and center the ball in the middle of the field, and some dope guard had a false start. And so that set them up on the side, and yeah, he had no chance to make that kick.
Okay, but the larger thing is this is where the kids who are chasing money are making terrible decisions. Because right. It's not just a case of, well, he would have been playing in front of a lot more people in a much more exciting environment with a much better team. It hurts his pro chances because he could have had a good game against Georgia. And then everyone said, man, Nico Iamaliva is really good. And he would be possibly drafted a lot higher. They're chasing the money in the short term, and a lot of these kids are getting terrible advice.
Well, I mean, I think,
but at least they're not slaves, Andy. At least they're not slaves.
He's got 2 years of eligibility. He may go to two other schools after this. And UCLA, by the way, has only played what, 3 games, so he can shut himself down as a redshirt right now.
Yeah, but the point, Andy, he's leaving a good situation to chase money.
Right,
and the money he's going to chase after this is going to be even less. And the situations he lands in are going to be even worse because no major program is going to trust this clown.
Well, if they think he can play, they'll take him. That's the way it works. And it's the NCAA that's at fault for this because there was no system put in place. They spent all their money fighting this, and then the Supreme Court went, no, you can't do this.
Okay. Andy, now
it's chaos.
Now that it exists, when will you stop blaming the NCAA?
Never, because they had a chance. They had a chance to set this up to prevent this. They got to get a system in place. Now, here's the thing. Outside of games like that, the games are great. I mean, the Georgia-Tennessee game was fabulous to watch.
Yes, and the Notre Dame-A&M game was also amazing.
Right, and this is, look, I grew up in the 1970s watching college football. It was awful. All they did with the wishbone and you know, God bless Woody Hayes and 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but it was boring as hell. So this is entertaining, and I'm not going to get all worked up about some quarterback who got a lot of money to go to UCLA. Okay, go. Looked like Tennessee was okay at quarterback. They almost won that game. So what?
I just want you to say what a dummy he was.
Okay, so what? I'm not. That's not.
Even you won't do that. That's amazing.
Not relevant. That's not.
Yes,
relevant
it's relevant.
To me.
Yes, it's relevant.
Not to me. Not to me.
Call balls and strikes, Andy. As a honest broker of sports, do it.
As a consumer of the product. Okay, he got a lot of money. He's in Southern California. He's probably got a nice apartment. His family got some money. Guy goes on, and he's got chances to go to 2 more schools after this. So what?
Okay. Here's Deshaun Foster at his introductory press conference. This is going to go down as one of the all-time sound bites. Take a listen to this.
I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in LA.
I remember this. Yeah.
It's us and USC.
Oh, God. Write something out. Write it out.
I'm just basically excited, really. That's it.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Any questions? Like, how did you get hired, bro? Seriously. Yeah. What happened here? Like, you'd think you'd have on a note card. Let me tell you about UCLA football, okay? We've produced this pro, that pro, this pro. We believe in this style of football. We're going to be tough. We're going to be measured. We're going to be good. We're going to be disciplined. We can't wait to start establishing a new era of UCLA football. The Bruins are back, baby. Instead, it's like, well, we're in L.A. USC's here as well.
Yeah, I didn't think anybody could outdo Jim Zorn in the Maroon and Black news conference, but he did it.
That was a bad one. Of course, then you have the case of Brian Kelly. Oh, LSU God. Beat Florida in a game that had how many picks did DJ Five. Lagway throw?
Five.
Five brutal picks, and yet every time I kept looking up at my TV, because I was doing something else at the time, I'm like, it's still 20-10. Like, how is this guy throwing pickle after pickle after pickle, and this game is not 52-something? So after the game, here was the exchange between a reporter and Brian Kelly.
Brian in the back. I know you love these immediate post-game sessions, but what are you seeing with your offense?
Stop. Really? Is that the first question? We won the game 20-10. Try another question. What do you want me to tell you? I just laid it out for you. We played the game to win the game. We played the game to win the game.
All right. How about third down then? What is going on with third down?
One game. Last game, we were great on third down. You're looking at this from the wrong perspective. LSU won the football game. Won the game. I don't know what you want from me. What do you want? You want us to win 70-0 against Florida to keep you happy?
No, I think people want to know why you can't run the ball, quite honestly.
We can run the ball. Did you see the last play of the game? That's all you need. You just need one. There's a ridiculous questions. And I'm getting tired of it. That football team just worked their tail off to get an SEC win, and you want to know what's wrong. You know what? You're spoiled. You're spoiled. This team is 17-1 night. 17-1. Give them some respect. How about that? Give them some respect instead of micro-analyzing every little thing. This is ridiculous. For a group of seasoned reporters, that kind of question is so out of line.
What a dick. What a thorough and utter dick he is.
When you watch the whole thing, he goes on to say that they're 17-1 in night games. I didn't know that was a separate column in the standings, night games. I mean, this guy, he's the one that killed a video guy and lied about it. Declan Sullivan, who he sent up to film, who was
on a wind on a wind advisory day in the Midwest, 30-mile-an-hour gusts or more. They practiced outdoors, which couldn't have been very effective for even doing anything or getting any work done as a team. And that kid was up there, Declan Sullivan, tweeting, "Oh my God, this is legit terrifying. This might be my last time ever doing this." And then the thing toppled over and he died.
Well, here's the thing. He lied about it. He said, "We looked at the wind and it was 22 miles an hour. In fact, the wind gusts were over 30. The manufacturer of the lift said it was inadvisable to go up there when it was over 28 miles an hour. This was an investigation that was done several years later by the LA Times. The family of Declan Sullivan decided they weren't going to pursue any legal action against him.
They got paid though, right?
Probably, but again, this guy did this, and then he comes in and he comes to LSU and they go, "Well, LSU, you can win there. That dopey Ed Orgeron, he had an undefeated team there. Anybody can do that."
And remember Brian Kelly's fake accent, his first time speaking to the crowd at a basketball game?
And he has a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback who looks like he's on his way to being a great NFL quarterback, and he didn't win a championship with him. He's a clown. I can't wait to see him fired.
Yeah. But the whole point, though, was, so what do you want from the reporters? To say, "Yay, you won? Let's have a party?" Yeah. Like, they're there to ask questions. You're there to answer them. You can try to push back on certain narratives, such as, "Look, we didn't run the ball great at times, but I really liked how we did this, this, and this." The whole thing is, we won the game. So what can I ask then? What do you want me to say? Yay?
That lost at home to South Florida, and South Florida got rocked on Saturday. He got a fifth-year quarterback to come back because LSU paid him the money. He's in a situation where it's hard to lose, and you almost lost to a team that stinks and is getting ready to fire its coach.
Yeah.
So, you know, back off, pal.
He also said you guys are spoiled to the media.
Right.
Like their fans? Winning.
But by his
we're
winning?
Spoiled?
What? Yeah.
Wow. Then there was the case of Arch Manning. Texas did beat UTEP, but not by much. It was like 27-10. This is a fake AI presser with Sarkisian, which looked really good.
I know.
Really real. Take a listen to this. Hold on a second.
But it's fake.
I know, it's fake. I'm emphasizing it's fake.
Okay.
We played a goddamn mining school today. Do you fucking understand me? These guys aren't going to the NFL. They're literally learning how to dig holes in the ground. and pick up rocks for the rest of their lives. So you'd think Arch Manning, from the prestigious Manning quarterback dynasty, would be able to complete more than half his throws against such a low-caliber opponent. But he couldn't. 11 for 25 with
those
a pick.
Those are real stats.
What a joke.
11
Our
for
fans
25.
Fucking booed him. And honestly, he deserved it. Christ, it's weird to say this, but I miss Quinn Ewers. Now someone pour me a fucking drink.
Are we going to see one of the all-time pull the curtain back and a guy who is hyped to the moon is not just not nearly that good, but outright bad? Is it
could be
possible?
Could be. I mean, it's not like he just showed up at Texas 2 years ago. We've been hearing about him since he was a freshman in high school. And I think I said this to you last week. Maybe it's not a big deal, but he played basketball in high school and averaged only 2 points a game.
That's
I know.
It.
Maybe that's not a factor. I'm just wondering, just because his name is Manning, is, you know, I mean, he can run. But he's at one of the top schools in the country. They have the unbelievable support for football. And this is who he is? Now, he's, you know, he did win, so.
He's okay. Had 2 years. Two years of apprenticeship. And he still is this bad against low-level opponents like UTEP. Last week, Sark pushed back on the he must be hurt rumors because of facial expressions with a sarcastic, well, I don't take pictures of you when you're taking a dump.
Yeah.
As if that was like a cutesy comeback to that. Now, what I'm thinking here is, Andy, if the ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports, right, they employ a lot of people, a lot of experts that really follow this stuff. If only they had a guy who has followed Deep South football, SEC, Big 12 football, his whole life, and talked to people and new coaches and really
ball
got in. If only they had a guy that could say, hey, pump your brakes on Arch Manning. He may not be that good. Oh, they do have a guy. His name is Paul Feinbaum, and here is what he said back in August.
I think there's a reasonably good chance that Arch Manning will be sitting on the front row in New York at the Heisman ceremony. That's assuming that his team does what it's supposed to do. I believe also that Arch Manning is the best college football quarterback we have seen since Tim Tebow entered the scene in 2006.
That is some high praise.
I mean, come on,
he backed
Andy.
Off that. He backed off.
Well,
that.
He's backed off it now, but tell me if this is not a career black mark for Paul Feinbaum's credibility that he will never, unless Arch Manning turns it around, that he will never fully erase.
I don't know. I don't think people get held to that for a long time. I think this was just a case of just overhyping, and I also wonder. And I think Spurrier was right on about this. They were in the playoff last year. They were trying to win a national championship. Don't you think people would have looked around the locker room and said to Sarkisian, hey, your best quarterback is not starting, and we got a better chance with Arch? Apparently not. So,
well, as part of the clip that I pulled that from, that's what Feinbaum was saying. He said, I think they would have won the title if they had just gone to Arch Manning last year.
Well, they clearly
which,
didn't.
I know, because the media and the experts and Feinbaum, who I used to put up on a higher shelf, Andy, because I thought he wasn't just an ESPN saybot or robot that says things for the sake of saying things. I put him on a higher shelf thinking he really was an honest broker. It looks like I put my trust in a guy who is just another hype man.
Well, he's been tough on Harbaugh in the past, too. So
I mean, who can't be? That's just parochialism right there. That's the South fighting the North, Andy.
I don't throw away a man's career work because he got one wrong.
Andy?
I don't.
I'm not talking about throwing away. I'm saying it leaves a mark.
Might.
Okay. All right, Andy. How was your weekend?
It was great. I went to the Maryland Towson game. I saw them blow them out and spent some time with my grandkids, so it was all good.
Should I go to a Maryland game with you?
You're invited. Whenever the next game is against Washington, a week from Saturday.
Tailgate? Do you tailgate?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. Would you enjoy my presence, or would I annoy you?
No. No, I'll get a commitment from you. I know you'll back out, but the invitation is there.
All right. All right, another week in the books. The mighty football machine, college and pro, rolls on. We'll talk next Monday, Andy. Thank you.
All right, Dave. Take care.
You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over a half a million dollars to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sportsbook that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.